It's time now for the final episode of the exercise and injury series that we've been running over the past few weeks. And this time, to finish, it's about how you can stay active when you're carrying an injury or you've sustained some damage, whether that's fixable or it's chronic. It can be debilitating, not to mention painful, but is it a good idea to try to keep moving? A bunch of ordinary people who've hurt themselves exercising, as well as a range of health and fitness professionals who also all have their own exercise-induced injuries, tell us here how they've modified what they do to stay fit and active.
For those who haven't got the energy to go for 10-mile runs in the country before breakfast to keep fit, we introduce a new streamlined method of exercising that can be carried out at home.
An early home gym ad.
Remedial exercises, including breathing movements, of special benefit during recovery.
But could I hurt myself on it?
Even with back bends, there's no danger of hurting yourself, because although Las Picas weighs only 2.5 pounds, it can take a strain of 900 pounds in weight.
The truth is that the more you exercise, the more likely you are somewhere down the track to get an injury. That might make you want to stop, but should you keep going? What are your alternatives? Misha Mertz runs fitness classes and does one-on-one training. So, with the people here, what role do you take in managing their injuries?
Actually, I think a lot of the time it's just letting them know that it's okay to still do the class or still train, even if they've got an injury. And then, you know, if they can't squat or they can't, but then I just give them an alternative exercise to do.
So I use this with people, you know, even if they're just too weak to do a regular push-up.
So this is push-up, assisted push-up.
Assisted push-up with a resistance band, you know, tied around the waist, basically, and attached to a higher point, so that, you know, if someone lacks the core strength to hold their body straight or the upper body strength to do a regular push-up, you can get the form right, whereas, you know, a lot of people's bums go up in the air once they try and sort of hold themselves in that push-up plank position. Yeah, so she keeps it well. And that's mainly because of her shoulder injury. I think that when I first started training you, you did unassisted push-ups.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
With my neck, though, and the shoulder, this really helps, means I can still do them, but it's not putting any pressure on my neck or shoulder, so it's good.
I think keeping with activity patterns is important, keeping with routines. So if we can swap something, an activity for something else, if it's a running injury, okay, can we get in the water for the time being, or can we get out and walk perhaps?
Andrew Jowett is a sport and exercise physician and the chair of Sports Medicine Australia.
So helping people keep routines is likely to be more successful, and exploring alternatives to that exercise is an important part of our injury management. Maybe looking at, okay, well, there are other gains. So if you can't do the running, we can get you a bit stronger. We can get some upper body strength. So let's flip things around. Let's have a bit of a change. Let's, you know, develop a different part of your program. So that may be a useful component to the training as well.
Alternatives and modifications aren't always necessarily that clear, though. For Claudia, who injured a ligament in her knee in a skiing accident, the medical advice she got confused her.
Nobody seemed to have a clear message about whether to keep doing the same level of exercise or whether to pull right back. It wasn't until the ultrasound technician said to me, your body's sending you a message that if it's sore, it doesn't want you to use it. And so at that point, I stopped riding to work, but probably I should have stopped much earlier. But no doctors had said that to me. They all said, oh, yes, no, keep doing yoga, keep cycling, it's all good. You know, who knows? I don't know whether that was the right or wrong thing. And at the end of the day, I haven't really made much improvement at all over those now getting close to 3 months.
One thing about any exercise is everything has a cost.
Chris Wheeler is a podiatrist who's interested in the way you stand, walk and run. For his own exercise, he's a runner.
When you're walking, there's roughly 1.5 to 2 times body weight that passes through the foot of every person. When you're running, it can be 3 to 5 times body weight. One thing about running and weight-bearing activities, it's quite a violent act. It may be a smooth, violent act, but it's a violent act. And so there is a cost, and it's very easy to know when someone has exercised too much because it hurts. It's very hard to know at which point they're going to exercise too much. Sadly, when you start an exercise regime, you're all geared up, yay, this is fantastic, I'm going to go out there, take up running is a wonderful thing. But an example I often use with patients, they wonder, well, why now, how could I have gotten injured with what I've been doing? And the example I often use is you may have jumped over a puddle. Now, we've all jumped over a puddle. There's a sudden load. Your foot may not be in good position to help absorb that load, and then you develop an injury. And sometimes these things are so inconsequential, it's only when people reflect on what they had done, they go, oh, that's right, I did jump over a puddle, or I did slip, or I did stub my toe. You know, when I go for a run, I run through bushlands, and I've been hit by branches that have fallen down. You know, even had the misfortune of coming across a fellow who had collapsed and died on the stairs, and he was clearly running up and down there for exercise. So that's a pretty extreme cost.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario.
Yes, yes. Perhaps that gentleman, on reflection, he was overweight in their classical mid-50s and running up and down the stairs, and his body wasn't ready for it. So I think 50 is the threshold, or even 40, when people are thinking about starting an exercise program to go to see their doctor to make sure that all is well so they can stand the rigours of what the exercise program is going to bring before them.
Even so, people do get injured. Beck, who's in her early 30s, injured her hip in the gym a couple of years ago. She's determined not to get dispirited by it.
Eventually, I'm going to get this thing. But so far, 2.5 years on, still there.
So all that time, has that stopped you from going back to the gym and doing general fitness stuff?
No, it actually probably helped in some ways, because I realised when I went to the osteo, she's like, look, this exercise is just not right for you. No, you shouldn't have been given that exercise, and you really need to have something more tailored to you. And so I went to a gym and had some more, like a couple personal training sessions where they actually tailored it to me, and they didn't just like lump me with a bunch of exercises. And I feel like I've been going more regularly since this happened, because it sort of gave me a bit of a focus, like I have to fix this, but then I also have to build other strength. And so that's actually, in some ways, it's kind of motivated me to have a better gym routine, I have to say. And my osteo says my core strength is a lot better. So I need a lot of validation. So all these experts are telling me things are getting better, even if it still bothers me. It feels like I'm getting somewhere.
In the gym that Misha Mertz runs, she does fitness and boxing training. An injury can be very demotivating.
Yeah.
Have you had people who, have wanted to stop?
Oh, well, I guess Gub here is a classic example of that. You know, she was a regular client of mine and did boxing and all sorts of different kinds of circuits for fitness training. And I got a message from her one day to say that she had been diagnosed with arthritis in her hands. And that was basically the end of her boxing. And, you know, like, she tried to tell me how it had been really beneficial for her in all sorts of different ways. And I just thought, No, we can't end it there. We can still do it somehow, you know, like, we gave it a try with these foam noodles instead of pads, which I'd tried with some other people as well who'd had hand injuries and things, temporary injuries, and, you know, fortunately it seemed to cut it okay with her.
So Gub, what was your response to Misha not taking no for an answer?
I think I was probably quite relieved and maybe a little bit flattered. When I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis, there were a few things that I felt I had to try and let go. I don't play guitar anymore, which is a loss to nobody but me. But boxing was one of those ones where I just felt like the continual impact on my hands of the actual punching was just too great a risk, and all I was going to be doing was exacerbating the problem. And so Mish came back to me and said, look, just come in. I've got this whole program figured out. You're only going to punch these foam noodles. And we had a great workout. I sweated just as much as I always did. I went away feeling like I was stronger, which anyway is the best thing I could be doing for arthritis, is staying strong. And was only mildly patronised by having to punch pink foam noodles. So it was great.
So when you were diagnosed with the arthritis, and presumably you'd had some pain in your hands for some time before that, how demotivating did you find that as far as exercise fitness goes?
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a shock in general, because I'm 35, so I suppose I wasn't really expecting this sort of thing just yet. And by the time I went to the doctor, it was bad enough that I couldn't undo buttons or tie shoelaces and that sort of thing, and typing was getting tricky. So from that perspective, it threw me a little bit. But I guess I sort of got my head around it reasonably quickly, and in fact it probably had the opposite effect on me. It was like, okay, so I'm going to have to be really smart now about what I do to stay as fit as I want to stay, and just trying to figure out what that mix was going to look like.
Even the health professionals have injuries, and that means modifying or changing what they do to stay fit. Sport and exercise physician Andrew Jowett used to be a keen runner. Now?
I'm really into cycling and cyclocross at the moment. That's my sport, partly due to some damage I did to an ankle some time ago, has taken running out of the game. So.
Okay, so you're a classic case of someone who has had to adapt your exercise because of injuries.
Yeah, that's right. Some damage in an ankle that's not likely to recover, and I don't believe surgery will help me with specifically, but I know that by managing the load on my ankle and trying to get my weight down and trying to keep strong, that, yeah, I know I've damaged my ankle and I know I can't do anything about it. So I just get on with it and look at what I can do, I guess.
Osteopath Michelle Funder does paddleboarding, also bushwalking. She was a very keen rower. So did you get rowing injuries?
Yes, I did, actually. I used to get stress fractures in my ribs, which is a sort of weird and wonderful sort of injury that rowers can get. So that was one of the inspirations, I suppose, as to getting into osteopathy was the treatment that I had during that time.
Having had, you know, that injury, for example, does that make you more empathetic, I suppose, to the people you see?
Yes, absolutely. Empathy is a really big part of our job, understanding what your clients are going through. And I think through personal experience, that certainly does help. At the same time, you don't want to be sitting there telling them stories of how, you know, I was such a warrior and my fractures hurt this much and I'm sure your back doesn't hurt that much. But certainly being able to identify with your clients is key to helping them.
Over the years, I've done both calves. I've had tendonitis in both Achilles tendons. I've done both hamstrings. I've had groin strains. And I've had on and off back pain, the worst of which was when my back seized up. Oh, and the other thing I have is this arthritic big toe. I also have a slightly arthritic thumb, which was definitely from my footy days. My knee, yes, I've got the torn meniscus in the knee. So it's quite an impressive list, really, isn't it? I still think it's better on balance to do the exercise. It's better to wear out than rust.
Change, exercise, jump, twist, hands up, head, turn to the right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Across this series about exercise and injuries, you've met a range of ordinary exercises with injuries. That was Peter there. Also Beck, Cherie, Gub, Claudia, Alan and Casimir. Fitness instructors Jared Boyle and Misha Mertz, physiotherapist Tam Pham, osteopath Michelle Funder, podiatrist Chris Wheeler, exercise physiologist Vanessa Rice, and sport and exercise physician Andrew Jowett.
One, two, three, four, jump, jump. Yum, yum, and the series is complete.
And the series is now complete, and that was the final in our Exercise and Injuries five-parter. If you missed any of the previous episodes, or if you'd like to refer them all to someone else to have a listen to, each of them is downloadable via the Life Matters website. It's Amanda Smith with you.